The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Ready, set, go!
And the truth shall set you free!
Welcome to One Life Radio.
We are going higher, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, happy Monday.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic, actually.
Excuse me. Sorry.
What did you do?
When I went to talk to you, like something was in my throat, and I was like, and then I went to say something else, and nothing came out, and I was like, whoa.
You didn't do your exercises before you.
I guess not. No, I don't know. That was weird.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's good to be here. It is, and I had a wonderful weekend. My daughter turned 18, my youngest daughter.
Oh man.
And had a beautiful party for her and a couple of her friends.
Awesome.
I made a homemade cake. And just, you know, doing little things like that. I love doing stuff like that. I do. And my daughter had a wonderful birthday. And it just feels good, you know. And this morning I was out reading on my little patio and all the little baby birds are all chirping. And I just love nature so much. And we're going to touch about that on that, I should say, a lot in today's show because it's important. It is. And I'm getting ready here in a second to introduce Mary Holland. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm beautiful, actually. I really am. I'm feeling so good. And nature's a big part of that. We're going to be talking about that today. Mary, I just finished reading right before, you know, noon, actually, just in the last couple minutes, one of the stories that we're going to be covering today. I would say it's probably the biggest story that we're going to be covering today from the most read news and views of the week from the childrenshealthdefense.org, and it's the transhumanism and the metaverse. We are doomed to live in a totalitarian digital prison, written by Charles Eisenstein. What a beautifully written essay.
Really,
oh my gosh.
Thoughtful. Yeah, and apparently he's just coming out with a book too. So yes, I look forward to our discussing that. Absolutely, Bernadette. Very, very good thinking about this big question for all of us.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he left me that essay. You know, when I first read the headline, I was like, oh, my gosh, we're doomed, you know. And everybody kind of feels that way when they think about certain things that have been going on in the world, especially the last couple of years. But I have to say that his essay left me in a beautiful space full of hope.
I agree. I love it. He says at the end, if the situation were hopeless, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful thought.
Yeah, and artificial intelligence will never be able to replace me, I can tell you that, or you, or Junior, or anybody, because the cake that I made this weekend was so beautiful. I hand-selected all the flowers. I stirred, you know, the batter myself. I used my rational brain to figure out how much, because I don't ever measure. I'm a pour-you-stop girl, you know. And so, you know, artificial intelligence will never be able to replicate what I did this weekend and filled my child's heart with love and joy by demonstrating, you know, selflessness, right?
Yeah.
So, but we've got a great show. We've got a lot to talk about. And let me officially introduce Mary Holland. If you are listening for the first time, Mary Holland serves as president and general counsel of Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked tirelessly in international public and private law. Mary is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can find Mary at childrenshealthdefense.org, and I encourage you, these stories that we're going to be going over, these headlines, to go to the childrenshealthdefense.org and sign up for their newsletter, The Defender, and you can read all of these yourself, especially the one we just talked about, the essay by Charles Eisenstein. It's something everyone must read. Junior, wait till you read it. It will blow your mind.
All right.
Yeah.
Look forward to
all right.
it.
All right, well, let's get started. Okay, so, Mary, the first story headline from the Defender newsletter, most read news and views of the week, reads, exclusive, more vaccine-injured pilots speak out as groups pressure airlines, regulators to end mandates. So, Mary, what's the latest news on this story? What can you tell us about the hostility and culture of intimidation within the aviation industry?
So this is one of our star reporters, Michael Neverdakis, who's done several articles about vaccine injury in the space of pilots and flight attendants, people who are flying on commercial airlines. And there's been enormous pressure on them, Bernadette. And what he tells us is he's been talking to a lot of different flying groups, pilots groups in particular, out of Canada, the U.S., Australia, the U.K., and they are all reporting this enormous pressure and this culture of intimidation that people will lose their jobs if they admit to having symptoms from their vaccine reactions, if they have, you know, symptoms from having gotten the shots that were coerced, and they are having symptoms. And so these people on a confidential basis are telling the author, Michael Neverdakis, that they're having symptoms of chest pains, blood clotting, brain fog, things that obviously you don't want to have a pilot have when they're carrying hundreds of people under their wing, literally, or over their wing. So there's a very bad dynamic going on here that because of this culture of intimidation, A, they're forced to take the shots, but B, they won't report their symptoms because then they'll lose their jobs and they have families to feed. Mm-hmm. So it's a very perverse set of incentives.
Yeah. Well, and I'm reading here that representatives from the Global Aviation Advocacy Coalition, the GAA, and also the Canadian-based Free to Fly also spoke with the Defender about their initiatives.
Right. So he's really talking to these pilots associations around the world. And the sad reality is they're all reporting essentially the same thing, Bernadette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what's going to happen, do you think, with all of this?
Well, you know, we wrote a letter to the Federal Aviation Agency, and we believe that what they're doing is illegal, right? So there are regulations that state that pilots may not be on experimental medications, full stop. These are experimental. They have been, up until now, only experimental. We know that the head of the FAA stepped down. There have not been any catastrophic, accidents yet, Bernadette, mm-hmm. but candidly, it may be a question of time.
Yeah.
Or it's possible that they really will, acknowledge that it's in the best interest of everyone that these pilots come forward and that they are given full salary while they overcome whatever the medical conditions are that they have. I mean, I think it highlights for us one of the key things that some really important medical groups are focusing on now, Bernadette, is what do we do about all of these adverse reactions? What do we do about the medical conditions that people now have as a result of these shots? This mm-hmm. is an urgent problem. It's been a problem
it
for
is.
Decades, but it's now really taking front and center, and groups like frontline COVID critical care doctors and others are really, really coming up with what are the protocols to help people overcome these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. One of them is one of these stories in here is heartbreaking. It's Steve Hornsby is his name, a 52-year-old pilot with a legacy passenger airline company, was once an active weightlifter and cyclist, biking 10 to 26 miles every other day. And after the second Pfizer shot, became very ill, and It's scary when you read stuff like that. Somebody in very fine health have a serious health issue because of the vaccine.
Well, I think what we see, Bernadette, particularly like with the young athletes, the soccer players, the basketball mm-hmm. players, these people who are in the peak of health, their bodies are so well attuned, their immune systems are so functional that when they have this incredible assault of this mRNA, shot, their body kind of is hyper reacts, right?
Mm-hmm,
and so many of these young, really super physical fit people die. Mm-hmm. It's both people who have a lot of comorbid conditions or who are elderly who seem to be more at risk both from COVID and from the shots, but it's also these young, super healthy people in the military, people who are professional athletes, people who are pilots who have to be in top physical condition, they also seem to be at very high risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you read on in this story, too, from the Defender newsletter, it's really interesting. So a nurse at an urgent care facility first told him his symptoms did not correlate to a heart attack and were most likely unrelated to the vaccine. And then later at a hospital emergency room, he was again told his symptoms were not likely to be related to the vaccine. At that point, Hornsby said, "I was indignant. Why would a healthcare provider dismiss that perspective?" He went on to say that this was my eye-opening reality that a major cover-up was in play. Hornsby was ultimately diagnosed with elevated blood pressure, but he was told he had not suffered a heart attack. Doctors advised him to follow up with a cardiologist, which he did, but they said that they would not report this case to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. You know, and that's concerning in itself.
It's so disturbing. I mean, literally, the political pressure we're seeing both in medicine and in science is so strong, Bernadette, that these people are not doing their jobs. What they're doing is completely unprofessional. I mean, it's not even not doing their jobs. They are, you know, affirmatively, you know, doing the opposite of their jobs. They are not reporting the symptoms they are seeing. They are not diagnosing correctly, and they're not analyzing the data that they're seeing correctly. Right. I mean, it's malfeasance. It's not just negligence. It's malfeasance. And that's because of this extraordinary political pressure, this culture. And so this culture of intimidation is coming from a very, very high place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so obvious. I mean, it's so obvious. The medical community has never been like this, and except in the last 50 years. And I have to say, and a lot of it is connected to the vaccine industry. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, remember, the vaccine industry is the pharmaceutical industry. And the top vaccine manufacturers, Merck, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, Sanofi, Pasteur, these are the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is enormous. And they have such an outsized role, you know, in medicine and science. This is the core.
Mm-hmm. You know, Junior, you don't usually speak very much on Mondays, but I want to hear what you have to say about this. What do you think, you know, as a living human being, about when you hear stories like this? What goes through your head, Junior?
I feel like it's, I don't know. My opinion is I don't take vaccines. I don't think that. I don't know. I don't. I just never did. I never. And this one just seemed so, like, they pushed it so hard. It just made me not want it even more. So yeah. I don't know. I just feel like we're learning more and more every day. And every day I feel like I'm less crazy because I'm like, yeah, I was right. You know, because everybody that I know was telling me I was wrong, or, you know, people that I know that would go get the vaccine or whatever. But it seems like everything's coming to light, and it just seems like it's slowly starting to open. And it's interesting to watch it unfold. And I'm just glad that a lot of the things that I kind of questioned myself about are starting to they're starting to be right.
and indeed, it is unfolding, isn't it, Mary? Mm-hmm. Every
day.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the clock. I want to stay on time today, so let's go for a quick break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Mary Holland and the Children's Health Defense. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Miss a day? Miss a lot. Subscribe to the Defender newsletter at childrenshealthdefense.org to stay on top of the news that matters to you. And tune in every Monday for updates on the Defender's most read news of the week with Mary Holland, president of Children's Health Defense. For the stories you don't want to miss, go to childrenshealthdefense.org and sign up for the Defender newsletter today.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland, continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are going over the top 10 most read news and views of the week with Mary Holland and the ChildrensHealthDefense.org. Okay, Mary, the next headline from the Defender newsletter is Pfizer, Moderna, COVID vaccines may increase risk of infection. Study shows. Mary, all of these studies can be very confusing. What did this latest study show, and who conducted the study?
So this article basically talks about two studies that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is one of the most important and prestigious journals in the world in medicine. And what it basically shows, which is crazy, Bernadette, is if you had two doses of the Pfizer shot, after 6 months, you will be you will not have any protection. In fact, you will have negative protection. And if you got Moderna after 6 months, you will have even more negative protection. You'll be minus 10% with Moderna, minus 3% effective with Pfizer against Omicron. Whereas if you had not been vaccinated but had natural immunity, you got sick with COVID and you recovered from COVID, you are 50% protected. So this is really just staggering. This is showing us that not only do the vaccines harm your immunity after 6 months, either requiring you to just kind of sit tight and maybe get sick, or keep going back for more boosters and they'll just sort of wear off even faster and have long-term problems. And it's showing that people who did make the choice not to get the shots are better protected against Omicron.
Wow. Well, I mean, you heard it all over the place. I know I did personally. People, friends I know, friends of their friends that got vaccinated, that got, you know, kept getting, you know, COVID, the different variants
Dr.
of
Fauci,
it.
Dr. Fauci, four doses allegedly.
There you go.
Sick with COVID.
There you go.
So, it's extremely troubling. And this is not, you know, nobody can say to us, oh, you know, that's not peer reviewed. Oh, that's not really credible information. No, this is a this is two articles in June in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yeah,
you
which
are
is
better
the...
off to get COVID and get natural immunity in terms of being protected going forward than if you got the shots.
Yeah. Who runs the New England Journal of Medicine? I don't know. I should have.
Well, it's allegedly an independent editorial board, but actually, of course, they get a lot of their money, Bernadette, from pharma. Pharma puts ads in the journals and they buy reprints for different medical authors. So pharma is well aware of this publication. You know, but it's physicians who run the New England Journal, and some of them in the past, people like Marcia Angel and others, have said, you know, half of what we publish is going to be wrong 10 years from now. And many of them have said, you know, the role of the pharmaceutical industry is way too big in distorting the information that's there. So when, in that context, we are getting published information that says you are better off with natural immunity, you know, it's very clear that that's the case.
Well, you know, I joked around about this, a bumper sticker that I saw some time ago, but it's really true. The three branches of government, one of them being pharmaceutical, they are running this country. That's what I feel like as just really an unbiased, because I have a very open mind, American citizen. You can see it clear as a bell.
There's no question that they run all the health agencies. I don't think there's any question. NIH, FDA, CDC, you know, who's really behind those? Pharma. I mean, they contribute the money, they set up the private foundations. I mean, just look at what's just happened in the last week at the FDA with the authorizations. I mean, those are not independent people making decisions. They're not.
Oh, gosh,
there's so much money on the scales, and there's the overt conflicts of interest, and then there's the behind-the-scenes conflicts of interest of, you know, these people have stock holdings, but also it's like, what's the research grant they're going to get down the line? What's the job they're going to get down the line? What's the grant that's going to come to the university down the line? All those things play into it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say that, because that was where my brain was going, is right to the universities all over this country. I feel like they are bought and paid for by Big Pharma as well.
They are absolutely compromised. There's no question. And one of the other interesting things about this article, Bernadette, is Dr. Madhava Setty, who is a senior science writer for The Defender, he really critiqued the data and just shows that, you know, exactly how they're trying even to sort of minimize some of the story, but there's just no way around this. And Dr. Marty Makary, who's been very outspoken, he's at Johns Hopkins, he had a social media post saying, you know, natural infection wins again. Natural immunity is better than vaccine-induced immunity, full stop.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to the COVID shots, it's just hands down.
You know, I'm reading a book called Cured by Dr. Rediger. I can't think of Jeffrey Rediger. He is one of the medical directors at Harvard and a brilliant man, a brilliant mind. And, you know, and this is changing a little bit of what off topic, but one of the things that just really sticks in my head, and I want to share this with everyone out there listening, that one of the worst things that you could do is take antibiotics. And they have been overprescribed and overused just like vaccines. I mean, there's a similarity between the two.
Oh, very much so. very much so. You know, the resistance that we get through the use of antibiotics, so they don't work anymore. It's very similar to what's happening with the COVID shots. The more you use them, the less effective they are. That's what these COVID shots are showing us right now.
Our immune systems are speaking to us loud and clear, and we need to listen. We all need to listen, but it's such great conversation. So let me go to the next headline. It reads Pfizer. Again, Pfizer. We've got Pfizer, three articles on Pfizer. All I could think of when I was writing the outline last night was Pfizer, 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 Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. But here we go again with Pfizer. Okay, so the next headline reads, Pfizer COVID vaccine reduces sperm quality. Attention, guys. But for how long? That was me ad-libbing, by the way. But for how long? So, Mary, the authors of a study showing Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine reduces sperm quality concluded the reduction was temporary, but others who examined the data behind the study questioned that assertion. What did they find behind further examination?
So this is a study that was published recently in June in a medical journal specifically about male fertility called Andrology. It's a peer-reviewed study, and it found this was based on three sperm counts from 37 donors. So it was with 220 samples. And this is so they took a baseline of a sperm count from these men before they got two doses, and then they took sperm counts and sperm, you know, quality tests, 15 days to 45, 75 to 150, and then 150 days. So this was a pretty comprehensive test. And what they found was that the concentration of sperm was down 15% after the second marker, like 75 to 150 days, and the motility was down 22%, which is really significant. And, you know, so this is 5 months out. The sperm counts are down like 20%. And, you know, Alex Berenson, a reporter, said, you know, that is not temporary if you're trying to start a family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people who were critical of this data said they kind of massaged the data and they used metrics like the median instead of the average, which understate the level of potential problem here. And so basically it looks like these authors, Bernadette, because of the political pressure on them to only say good things about the shots, they conclude their article talking about misinformation, and they seem to be trying to get the information out there, but in a way that doesn't subject them to, you know, stigma and losing their jobs. So it's a very, you know, I used to live in the Soviet Union and I studied Soviet political science, and this totally reminds me of the Soviet Union, where basically authors are trying to alert you to a problem, but they have to get it past the censors. So they have to put in words like, oh, you know, we don't want any misinformation. And, you know, they have to sort of feed the beast. But at the same time, they're trying to get these grains of truth out. And these authors are telling us this is affecting male fertility. And they're calling it temporary, but the data doesn't prove that at all.
Well, we touched on this a little bit last week. If you remember, I couldn't remember the name for fertility. But, you know, women are dealing with this, too, because their fertility has been altered. And a lot of women, after receiving the COVID-19 vaccines, if I'm not mistaken, experience spontaneous abortion. Right.
Well, miscarriages. Yes. Miscarriages. I mean, there's a lot of reproductive harm that we're seeing. And Brian Hooker, who's on our staff, the chief scientist, has recently published an article based on some of the menstrual irregularities, including what's called decidual cast shedding. In other words, a woman's whole uterus will just kind of shed the whole lining. And that almost never happened in the past. And they've recorded like 200 episodes of this among people who weren't even vaccinated, but who came in contact with people who were vaccinated recently. So yes, I think up until now, more has been studied about female fertility. This is one of the first articles to come out about male fertility. And what we're basically understanding is that this is having an impact on male and female fertility and very serious impact.
Yeah. Wow. Just another side effect that's not being, you know, labeled for what it is. Right. And not being reported to VAERS. And so.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's very concerning.
Because of this political pressure and these doctors, just like the pilots, fearful they may lose their jobs or their grants or their titles or whatever. They are underreporting this negative information about this massive, you know, campaign for vaccines.
It's pretty scary. That part of it really, really scares me, that people are so afraid to not speak up. And it should concern everyone out there listening. We all need to stick together on this. And we need to ultimately, you know, get to the real science and the truth in order to preserve our health. It's our wealth. It's everything. Children's lives are in the balance as well, and our future. But, you know, this next story headline from the Defender newsletter at childrenshealthdefense.org reads, "Landmark Supreme Court ruling paves way for thousands of lawsuits claiming Monsanto Roundup causes cancer." Mary, this sounds like great news. What made it a landmark ruling, and what do Americans need to know about this ruling?
So this is great news. So you may remember over the last couple of years, the law doesn't always move quickly, but there were some really massive verdicts against Bayer, which owns Monsanto, for mislabeling glyphosate products, particularly Roundup. They basically were telling everybody it's safe and effective, right, against your weeds, won't hurt you. And people developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And a particular gentleman developed, Mr. Hardiman, had to use it every day. He read the label and it said, you know, there's not going to be a problem. And he developed cancer. So he got a multi-billion dollar judgment that the California courts reduced down to $25 million. That went at the appeals court, it was reduced down to $25 million. It was still $25 million. And so Bayer here had petitioned for the Supreme Court to try to reverse the judgment, which makes sense because there are thousands of cases now lined up to deal with Roundup cancers and other health problems that have emerged. And the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to take the case. So what this means, Bernadette, is that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals judgment stands. Bayer is going to have to pay that $25 million to Mr. Hardiman. But much more importantly, there are now 30,000 unresolved cases of injuries from Roundup around the country. Wow. So Bayer has already set aside, I think it's $15 billion to deal with these cases. Mm. But what this really means is that, you know, Roundup's days are numbered, which is really fantastic news.
That
because I don't know about you, but I was recently in a store for gardening supplies, and there's just tons of Roundup.
It's everywhere.
And there's no sign that says this causes cancer. It can harm you.
Yep.
So I'm very excited that this is now moving in the right direction.
Yeah, me too. It's good to see them finally on their knees a little bit, and I hope that it continues and they don't take the pressure off. Speaking of pressure, I need to go to break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Mary Holland. We are covering the top 10 most read news and views of the week from the childrenshealthdefense.org. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Do we really know who Anthony Fauci is? The founder of Children's Health Defense, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., takes a deep dive into Fauci's 50-year reign as America's public health czar in his new book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. Fauci's actions are propelling America towards a grim future, and our health freedom is in jeopardy. Get to know The Real Anthony Fauci. Order your copy of The Real Anthony Fauci today on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or wherever fine books are sold.
We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland, continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you miss a day, you miss a lot. Sign up for the Defender newsletter at childrenshealthdefense.org. It's free. And if you are just now joining us, we are continuing to go through the most read news and views of the week from the Defender newsletter with Mary Holland, president of Children's Health Defense. Okay, so Mary, the next story headline reads, "Alarming levels of 29 chemicals affecting human fertility found in men's urine samples." Mary, what was the summary of the study and its findings?
So this was an important study published in a journal called Environment International, and they analyzed the urine of 98 Danish men. And they found these endocrine disruptors, types of chemicals that can affect fertility, among other things, at 100 times the acceptable exposures. And they, you know, were astonished by how toxic these men's urine is. And what they found in the urine was high levels of bisphenol A, BPA, that's in lots of plastics around food. They found other bisphenols. They found paracetamol, which is in acetaminophen and Tylenol. They found phthalates. They found PCBs. And basically, they had a fertility expert, a Dr. Swan, who said, you know, humans are now meeting criteria for an endangered species.
Wow.
And in her countdown, she says that sperm counts could be zero by 2045, and that men today have sperm counts that are half those of their grandfathers.
Wow.
And another OBGYN, Dr. James Thorpe, said that in the past 2 years, he has just seen unprecedented harms to women's fertility, and that, you know, these gene shots had no reproductive toxicology done on them. Mm. So this is another one that is a wake-up call that we may be doing a lot more harm than good.
Okay, and I was reading an article, I don't have it in front of me, but basically saying that our waterways have never been more contaminated, and with pharmaceuticals is on the top of that list, right? And so, I mean, it's about survival of the fittest, right? And so we have to make good decisions about our health. That includes what pharmaceuticals we take instead of getting back to nature and fixing our health and our diet and all these things that keep our immune system strong, right? And,
right.
But some people can't help it, you know. If they can't afford bottled water or filtered water, they have to drink the tap water, you know, that's got fluoride in it and a lot of other contaminants, like these, you know, 29 chemicals affecting human fertility. So let me ask you this, Mary. You know, what are the common endocrine disruptors, and how are humans exposed?
Well, the ones that they talked about in this article are, you know, things in plastics, BPA, bisphenol, and paracetamol, which is in Tylenol, you know, and phthalates and PCB. So a lot of it's plastic related. They didn't talk about other ones, but these ones, because the endocrine system affects everything, including fertility, you know, these are just very, very serious health concerns. And what troubles me is they say that this, they were just astonished. They were using data from the European Food Standards Agency. And they basically say, you know, this is just really, really bad news. And Europe, remember, these were Danish men, I have to say, Bernadette. In general, there is higher levels of food and product safety in Europe than there are here.
Yeah.
So this isn't even American men.
Wow. Yeah, I noted that myself when I read the article. I thought, same thing you just said. I'm like, yeah, these are people from the European Union and the Danish men. So we do, you know, we need to be more vigilant, and I think more active in our communities and fight these things like fluoride, for example, that they want to put in our water that lowers the IQ of children and adults too. I mean, there's a connection.
Absolutely.
I remember having a conversation with Dr. Fred Sancilio, a very wonderful doctor, one time. And he, when I had a discussion about fluoride, and he expressed how concerned he was the dangers of fluoride being in our water. We're going to do an upcoming show on it. But these things that we have to consider. But, you know, the next story headline is alarming as well. Chronic disease among kids. Skyrocketing. Pediatrician tells RFK Jr. Mary, what did Dr. Joel Gator Warsh tell RFK Jr. on a recent episode of the RFK Jr. The Defender podcast?
Well, Dr. Warsh is a pediatrician, and he said if we really don't change our trajectory, you know, every child will have a chronic disease. Right now, it's over half of kids. In fact, it was 54% in 2006. So we're on an unsustainable course, and it relates to toxic exposures like endocrine disruptors, but also poor nutrition, right? People don't eat well enough. And Robert Kennedy asked him, you know, why aren't the pediatricians sounding the alarm? And Dr. Warsh explained that most pediatricians are kind of focused on the day-to-day, the kid in front of them, but also, you know, it's not profitable for them, which is a terrible thing to say, but it's not profitable for them to be pushing for kids to get vitamin D. It's more profitable for them to be doing, you know, expensive treatments of various kinds.
Well, and I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm thinking that the American Medical Association has a strong opinion about that as well, right?
Well, I mean, I think that they say that there's serious problems. I mean, this is sort of more the American Academy of Pediatrics, but they don't really address They don't really look at the big picture. I think that's what Bobby Kennedy was sort of pulling out of Dr. Ward.
Okay.
They want to look at the little picture and, oh, we've got a perfect drug for you, rather than look at the big picture, which is, what is going on here? Like, this is staggering. And one of the things the article points out is that in the 1960s, it was 6% of American kids who had some kind of chronic health condition.
Mm-hmm.
And by the 2020s, you know, it's clearly over 50%. It's probably in the 60 percentile.
Yeah.
So we've had a tenfold increase in chronic disease in children.
Yeah. And you, I don't know about you, but I personally can't help but, you know, when you look at it big picture, what's changed since 1960, okay? Well, the vaccine schedule, for one, has increased like threefold or fourfold, fivefold. I mean, it's tremendous.
Well, it's a huge piece of it. It's a huge piece of it. There's no question that the vaccine schedule is a huge piece of it.
And the food.
Not the only piece, right? It's also the food. It's also the chemicals. It's all those things. But it's definitely related to the vaccine schedule, among others.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And it all it has a cumulative effect, right?
Right.
On their little bodies.
That it's, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of children, I was reading in the article, the essay by Charles Eisenstein, that and so many children are cesarean birth now. They're not even natural birth, which that's when your gut microbiome starts, when you're coming through the birth canal, right? And sometimes an emergency C-section is necessary, but I mean, it's like standard now, which is really frightening.
It is strange. I mean, people like, you know, they put it on their schedule. You know, know, Wednesday's not good. Let's do the birth on Thursday. I mean, I can't even imagine, because I think, again, like, women don't fully understand how painful and how disruptive and how serious a C-section is.
Yeah. Well, and talk about taking the fun out of all of it. I mean, a birth is a beautiful, wonderful thing to experience for the whole family and friends and community. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. So many things we need to consider, Mary. But this next story headline from the most read news and views of the week from the Defender newsletter appears to be some good news. So this is an exclusive. Whistleblower says with 120,000 troops still unvaccinated, Army may move June 30th deadline far into the future. What do we need to know about this, Mary?
Well, this is really interesting. Since December 2021, the military has been telling us that 96% of the troops have been fully vaccinated. They've been asserting to us that, you know, there are very, very few people who are seeking religious or medical exemptions, and, you know, we've got this under control. And this insider, in an exclusive, you know, report to us, said they are not telling the truth, and that actually it's more like 12 or 13% of people in the Army who are not vaccinated. And basically, if the military were to separate all of them in a few days at the end of June, what the military says is they would be combat ineffective. In other words, they would not be able to defend the country or to do the missions that they need to do. So what they're going to do is likely push back the deadline until sometime in 2023 and do it in a phased way. But two of the hopeful things in the article is that Representative Gates in the Congress has called for the reinstatement of all the discharged military members. And Senator Johnson is calling for, you know, continuing to call for all of the medical, the defense medical epidemiological data, which is very important information about what's really happening. That's a very controlled subset of very healthy people. Mm-hmm. And what we have learned, but we're trying to get the full story, is that these shots are, again, they're causing massive levels of harm. So this is really an important story that, with enough pushback, maybe the military is going to really have to fundamentally change its policies.
Absolutely. And what about the Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps?
I don't think we have the same, we don't have the same insider information, but my best guess, Bernadette, would be that it's very similar. Mm-hmm. That they've been trying to tell us all this story. Oh, yeah, you know, no problem. We've got this handled. And there are many lawsuits on behalf of unvaccinated service people in different services. But I, you know, my best guess is if it's 12% in the Army, it's probably similar in the other services. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A dear friend of mine, I mentioned this to you, her son was in the Air Force for, I think, 11 years, 9 years, something like that. He refused to get the vaccination, and he was like, bye-bye. You know, so he, you know.
So many are separating because, again, like with the pilots, the intimidation, the culture of intimidation has been terrible, the stigmatization, the abusive practices. Mm-hmm. But some have held out, and, you know, it's those people who are holding out who hold up the hope that things will change, that the military cannot, it has to first fulfill its mission, Bernadette.
Absolutely.
And if it can't fulfill its mission, mm-hmm. because there are people who are lawfully refusing, because these are EUA products, emergency use authorization, the military can't compel them, although they're basically doing that, I believe, illegally. We believe illegally at Children's Health Defense. You know, it's those people who are standing up that may actually create real change in the military.
Yeah. We've got three more stories to cover and a break, so we better skedaddle real quick, but we'll be right back. More coming up with Mary Holland and the Children's Health Defense. You don't want to miss the last three stories. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Leave it to Mother Nature to create the powerful goji berry. Used in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years, goji berries contain an array of antioxidants and minerals that can protect cells and improve metabolism. And now Sun Warrior has turned this nutrient-dense berry into a new organic goji berry juice powder. Sun Warrior's organic goji berry juice powder is an excellent source of vitamin A, copper, selenium, and riboflavin to support eye and skin health, plus zero added sugars. It's amazing for baking and flavoring desserts, so perk up your pancakes, add it to smoothies and teas, and sprinkle it everywhere life needs a little nutritious sweetening. Order your Sun Warrior's organic goji berry juice powder today, made with light, energy, and love, from their pantry to yours. Go to sunwarrior.com, that's sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland, continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are going over the top 10 most read news and views of the week with Mary Holland and the ChildrensHealthDefense.org. We've got three more stories. Okay, Mary, this next one is one that we've already touched on at the beginning of the show, but this is probably my favorite piece that I've almost ever read. I swear, it is so beautifully written. The title reads, "Transhumanism is and the Metaverse. Are we doomed to live in a totalitarian digital prison?" Mary, can you explain what transhumanism is and how the WEF, or the World Economic Forum, is intertwined?
Yes. So transhumanism is the idea that we should transcend being humans. We will merge with machines and we will live in the metaverse, a virtual reality that we humans create. And this, Mr. Eisenstadt argues, is the extension of our ideas about progress and development. And he fears that we would actually be creating not a paradise if we continue to move in this direction, but rather kind of a hell, that this is actually a very kind of anti-nature, anti-human kind of perspective on things. And so this is a very interesting thought piece where he kind of puts out here this idea of we could have parallel societies and we could sort of have the people who are kind of back to nature, and he talks about them, you know, sort of as hippies, versus the transhumans who really want to kind of, you know, mate with machines, essentially, like become partially machines. And he says, you know, the situation is definitely not hopeless. You know, there is this sort of march towards a medico-digital prison, he calls it. But there's also this other opportunity for us to really change things. And mm-hmm. he said, "We it's not hopeless because we're here and because we have to know that we are ready to accomplish this." So it is. It's a very hopeful piece, and it's a very thoughtful piece.
Oh, wow. It's so well written. I was so entertained. And just talk about stretching your mind and some beautiful points made. Now, I encourage everyone to go to the Defender newsletter and sign up for the newsletter and read everything they have to all their articles and stories, but especially this one. It's beautifully written. It was a treat, I might add. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about you when I was reading it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is right up Mary's alley. It's such an intellectual piece, such an intellectual essay. Agreed?
Yes. It's a more challenging read. It's not mm-hmm. news. This is really, you have to think this one through, but this yeah. is really, it's a very helpful kind of piece to give you the big picture.
Yes, absolutely. And to not live in fear. You know,
right.
You know, there's still a lot of hippies out there, including me.
I'm one of them.
I'm one of them too. Oh my gosh. And my parents were part of the original hippie movement. And so I'm proud of that. You know, we had our own garden, you know, we baked our own bread. My parents were super cool, you know, and
wow.
I was so lucky.
That's great.
Yeah, and very educated as well, you know, and entrepreneurs. So, you know, I got a little bit of everything. But, okay, so we've only got a couple of minutes. So this next headline is great news for all of us, especially our children. The headline reads that court orders EPA to reassess glyphosate's risk to human health and the environment. Mary, do you think Monsanto Bayer will finally be held accountable for all of the damage they have done?
I think we're going to make it happen, Bernadette. So this is exciting that basically the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals told the Environmental Protection Agency what you did to basically make glyphosate be available everywhere is illegal. And what it was that you did was arbitrary, and you have to go back and reassess this for human health.
Absolutely.
And so what's going to happen now is there are going to be thousands of cases against Bayer across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to change the landscape. It's absolutely going to change the landscape when it comes to glyphosate and Roundup in particular.
Oh, yeah. Well, and our monarch butterflies. I was reading a book last night, The Best American Science and Nature Writings. And it just coincidentally, it's so funny, so serendipitous that in the United States, scientists recently found that the population of the monarch butterfly fell by 90% in the last 20 years, a loss of 900 million individuals.
Mm-hmm.
The rusty patch bumblebee, which once lived in 28 states, dropped by 87% over the same period. And we need our insects to have a healthy planet. So that's another thing to consider. But the last story from the most read news and views of the week from the Defender newsletter is again regarding Pfizer. The headline reads, Pfizer classified almost as severe adverse events during COVID vaccine trials not related to shots. Mary, how are they getting away with this again and again?
I think the jig is getting closer to being up, Bernadette. So this is 80,000 new pages were forced to be published by the FDA because of a federal court. And what it shows is that not a single toxicity level 4 event was listed as vaccine related. So these are really serious medical events like cancer, respiratory failure, anaphylactic shock, and most of these people died. Not a single one of these was rated as related. The sort of less severe things like a headache, like hives, that was, level 3, and those were reported. You know, it's just further evidence of fraud, and the truth will come out.
Yes, it will. And the truth shall set us free. We got through all of it. We did it, Mary.
Right.
I'm telling you, I feel like I do a marathon on Mondays every Monday. But I love it. I wouldn't do anything else on Mondays. I love doing this. And thank you so much for all the work that you and the ChildrensHealthDefense.org does
so
to
much,
protect
Bernadette.
Us. You're welcome. Mary Holland, everyone, go to the ChildrensHealthDefense.org because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Protect it.
We get one life.